Hebrews chapter 4. And we have been in a series about falling in love with the Word of God. Let me hear a vocal response from you. How many here love the Bible? Amen. Love the Bible. When I was a kid in college, and I used to just hold my Bible at the evening time and after reading it, of course, and sometimes I would go to bed and I just lay my Bible on my heart and on my chest and fall asleep, and the next morning it was on the ground, and then I'd repent. Oh, I shouldn't have my Bible on the ground. But I just hold it close. I'm still holding it close. I don't go to bed with my Bible every night. That sounds a little weird, but nevertheless, I hold it close to my heart. How many are reading the Bible through the year, this year? All right? How many enjoy reading the Bible every day? Even if it's a psalm, a verse of Scripture, a phrase from one verse. As you read the Bible, there's a quickening that takes place. There's something that brings encouragement to your life and to your soul. Now, we've done a series, and this is our last in that series, on falling in love with the Word of God. And we've talked about how the Bible is a living book, a loving book, and a literal book. We've talked about how Jesus fulfilled 300 messianic prophecies, and it's a miracle for somebody to fulfill 1, 2, 5, 45 would be an utter impossibility, 300 off the chart in statistical scale, sincerely. We also talked about logos and rhema, the Greek words that talk about the Word of God, and the Scripture talks about putting the Word of God in so Jesus can breathe upon a specific treasure and pull a verse out at that time that you need it. How many have ever experienced that? Where right at the time you need it, there's a phrase of Scripture or something where God will quicken something to your heart. Last week we talked about loving the Word of God and how that can be a lifelong passion. Remember we talked about Paul in 2 Timothy as we conclude with the final words of Paul. What does he ask Timothy to bring with him? In addition to John Mark, he says, bring me the parchments. Bring me the books. Because he wants to read the Word of God even in his final days. And shortly thereafter, Paul was beheaded for his faith in about AD 67 or AD 68. But he loved the Word of God so richly, it was a treasure. Now this morning, I want to take a look at some other scriptures about the Word of God that I think are powerful for us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to begin in verse 9. Now the first part of the chapter, verses 1 through 8, deal with how Israel did not enter into their rest or into their inheritance. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, you read about how God had given Israel the promised land to inherit. And they exited from Egypt, right? They exited from Egypt, and they could have been across that desert. How many know how long? 3 weeks. Could have been across the desert on the way to the promised land in 3 weeks. But what happened? They get up to the promised land, and they find they're there. And they've been preparing for this day. But the people became fearful. And they said, well, why don't we send some spies into the land? Anybody remember this story? Sure. Send some spies into the land. Let's take a look and see how they are in this land. And 10 of 12 spies come back and they're shaking in their boots or in their sandals, if you will. They're shaking and they're saying, great land, wonderful fruit, fantastic fruit. But remember what they said? There are giants in the land. They ain't jolly. They ain't green. They're just giants. We can't take them. But two said what? We can take them. God's big enough. Let's go up. Let's go up to battle. Let's do it. Let's take the land God gave us. But the 10 spies' word prevailed. The people became fearful and they didn't go up. Judgment came upon the camp of Israel because of that. Tried to go up the next day. That, you know, anybody ever know that God wants you to do something and you miss it? Anybody in this room besides me ever miss it? You're all looking like, oh, I don't want to admit it. Yeah, okay, sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we don't do, you know, a sin of omission, not doing what you should do. Sin of commission, you commit. Sin of omission, you omit. Sometimes you don't do what you're supposed to do and you know it and you missed it. Well, these people, after they found out they were going to be judged by God for not going up, then they said the next day, okay, we're ready. Moses says, hey, forget it. You missed it. Or you know, Moses didn't say that. Who said that? Joshua, thank you. Yeah. Just testing you. Joshua says, it's not going to do you any good now. And was it Moses? It was Moses, wasn't it? No. Moses. I know my Bible. I'm a pastor. The problem is I'm having a birthday, and it's one of those over 50. And right now I didn't think of those scriptures. Okay. So they say, we're ready to go up now, and God doesn't bless them. And so they don't get to go up, and they spend how long in the wilderness? 40 years in the wilderness, when it could have taken them 3 weeks. So there's a rest that they did not inherit. There's an inheritance they didn't receive. That's the first part of Hebrews 4. Let's pick it up from verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent, King James says, labor, to enter that rest. It's kind of an oxymoron, it seems like. It doesn't go together. Let us labor. Let us be diligent. Let us put effort into resting. Well, wonder what that means. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience, the disobedience that the Old Testament children of Israel did. For the word of God, say it with me, please. I don't know what translation you have. I'm reading from New King James, but read yours out loud with me. For the word of God, verse 12, is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. All right, that's enough. New King James, living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints of marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Verse 13, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and opened to the eyes of him with whom or to whom we must give an account. Verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Verse 16, how are we to come to the throne of God? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 out of the New International Version, the NIV says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. The giants are too big. I can't do it. I don't think God wants me to do this. I don't think I can. You know, there's not a relationship of peace between you and somebody with whom you need to be restored. And maybe there's a difficulty. Maybe there's something God's asking you to do, and in your heart you quake and you fear and say, I don't believe I can do it. Let me ask you a question, church. Is God big enough to do anything? And God bless you equals a majority. If God says you can, then you can. Now, there's the power of positive thinking. I can say all day long, I'm going to grow 6 inches. May not do me any good. But if God says I can, then I can. If God says I can do something, then I can. They failed to enter into their rest. There remained, therefore, a rest, an inheritance, a place of provision. There remains something for the people of God. Now, without a show of hands, I know I ask a number of questions, but I think we can all relate to this. You don't have to raise your hands, but anybody this week, you're welcome to if you want, have a time of turmoil? Anybody this week have a time where no peace? Okay, I see several hands on one person. Anybody this week have a problem? Pastor Kevin? All God's children got problems, don't you know? There remains an inheritance, a provision, a place of peace. Now, you know, let's just talk current events. One of the things that's lacking most in our society right now, you all know, is lack of peace, right? Peace is lacking. I'm not talking about Haight-Ashbury 67, even though my hair's a little long. Peace, baby. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about substantial, real peace inside the soul, where you know God's on the throne and you don't have to shake in your boots. Where no matter, though I don't understand, I still know Him. And though I don't get it, He's got me. There's a man named Owen Wilson. How many know Owen Wilson? Actor.
Funny guy.
$10 million a movie. One of the funniest guys I've seen in a long time. Now, I haven't seen all his movies, so don't leap to the wrong movies, okay? But some of his movies are just funny. I really enjoyed the ones with Jackie Chan. But, what? Somebody didn't like that. Okay, that's fine. Don't disown me. That's all right. Anyway, I thought some of those movies were really funny, but there's a man who's not laughing because he attempted suicide this week. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how funny you can be on the screen, does it? We all look at that and we go, that's what I want to be. That's what I want. Really? Anybody ever hear of Tom Sizemore?
Yeah.
Tom Sizemore is one of the best actors. Man, that guy's a great movie actor, an award-winning actor. Anybody ever seen Saving Private Ryan? He was the sergeant, Saving Private Ryan, Mike. Great actor. Tom Sizemore has just been put away in jail for 16 months back to prison because he's a meth head and he cannot overcome his addiction. What drives it? What drives it? And I'm not trying to point them at it as, aren't they horrible? These are people who need our prayers. But what drives it? Is there peace in our society? How'd you like to be flying this weekend? Did you see the news stories lately? I'm tired. I'm waiting for 5 hours in the airport. Nobody's happy. Nobody. Except there was one pilot. They did a news story on one pilot this week who was serving it. Welcome, welcome. It's a breath of fresh air to everybody. He was a servant. But people aren't happy. There's no joy. There's all sorts of provision in people's lives financially. But how about Michael Vick? You think he's happy this morning? Michael Vick, great football career. However, Michael Vick may have just given his life to Jesus, and I pray it's really sincere. But his man was into, what was it? The dog fights. Way to ruin a career. Probably he'll be back in a year and a half. But Jesus says there's a place of rest. There's a place free from the turmoil. There's an amazing grace available in Jesus Christ. Ever get uptight trying to determine the will of God for your life? Come on. Sure. I wonder if God wants me to do this or that. There remaineth therefore a rest, a peace, an inheritance to the people of God, a place in the presence of Jesus. That's the place I want to be. Anybody in this room want to know Jesus better? How about just abide in the presence of God? Live under an open heaven, the Bible says. Where, man, you have a question, you got an answer. Anybody want that? It remaineth therefore a rest. The God zone. The place of His presence. How do we get there? Well, the Bible says first labor. Labor, King James. Or put effort or be diligent to enter it. The Greek word there, to labor or be diligent, is the Greek word spoudazo. Say with me, spoudazo. You're all Greek scholars. Spoudazo means use speed. Make effort. Hustle up. Be prompt. Be earnest about getting to your rest. Be earnest about getting to that place of the inheritance, the presence of Jesus. Be earnest about doing away with anything that takes you away to the side and distraction. That doesn't mean you have to become a monk in some building monastery somewhere. But it means be earnest to make sure Jesus is number one in your heart. Say amen or oh no. Put your diligent effort. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. Put some effort into it. How many put effort into getting an inheritance or maybe looking into your retirement accounts? How many put effort into going, you're going to make a purchase and you look at the newspaper, you check the internet and you look at everything, you make sure you get the best price. How many put effort into yard sales around here? All right, a few of you do. Yeah, yeah. Sue, where's the queen of yard sale, ladies? There you go. Sue's fantastic. You need any help on yard sales, talk to that lady. She puts effort into it. Church, that's the kind of effort, and even more so. Put effort into reading the Word of God. Put effort into the study of the Scriptures. Put effort into prayer and in your walk with Jesus. Wow. You mean I'm not supposed to just sit back and it'll all come to me? No, he says, put some labor, some discipline, some effort. All it takes, reading the Bible daily, and God will speak to your heart. Give God a chance to speak to you from the Bible. Take time. Hebrews 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. In the Greek, that literally means the Bible is quick, it's powerful. It's an alive book. Remember 5 weeks ago we talked about it's a living book. The Bible is alive. God knows how to minister exactly what He wants to your spirit and your need. The Bible says the Bible is sharper than a sword. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Kev? That doesn't sound so good. You know what that really means in the Greek? It means cutting with one stroke. Anybody ever try to cut anything with a dull knife? Sit there, you saw that cookie all day. Whatever it is you're trying to saw. Man, back and forth and back and forth, it doesn't do the job. So you end up with a ragged edge, a torn edge. It's not good. How many think it would be good if surgeons used dull-edged scalpels? Let me see your scar. Put it away. No, it's a finely tuned, it's a wonderfully sharp instrument. And that's what the Bible is. What does that mean? Can you be honest with me? I can be honest with you. Upon occasion, rarely, way back, once in 1964, I was messed up. Troubled. When you go to God and you go to the Bible, you open the Scriptures with an honest heart of integrity and say, okay, Lord, speak to me. Don't throw away the negative. Sometimes they're there. Anybody ever had a teacher that was hard on you, but it was the best teacher you ever had? Sometimes the Bible is like that. You need to repent. Oh, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You are in sin. I rebuke you, devil. No, sometimes the Bible is just quick, powerful, cuts right through the garbage and the turmoil. And He says, Kev, you've set up another idol over me. That's why you're in turmoil. Whatever it might be, the Bible says He's quick, and it's a one-cut cleanness from the Scripture. Wow, that's powerful. The Bible says that it's piercing. It pierces right through. In the Greek, it literally means the Bible penetrates your soul. Goes right to the bone. Gets right to the heart of the matter. Sometimes we wonder if God can hear us. You ever feel like God's far away? If that's how you feel, guess who moved? I'm just being that loving teacher this morning. Guess who moved? Wasn't God. Ever feel like your heart has steel plates around it? God, get through. I need to hear from you. The Bible tells us that sin can dull our ability to hear from God. Sin shuts the ear. So what do you do with sin? You bring it to God. You bring it to Jesus and say, forgive me. Wash me clean by your blood. Open my ears to hear you. Lord, I've got some confusion in my life. I'm not sure what to do. Maybe it's not sin, but I know this area is something I need to change in. I want to get everything cleared out so I hear you. The Bible is discerning. Quick, powerful, sharper than a sword, piercing, discerning. That literally means it's kritikos. Anybody ever hear the word critique? Kritikos. It's decisive. It means it's critical. It's discriminating. The Bible is decisive and discriminating. Let me teach you something very clearly, very cleanly about the difference between condemnation, which is of the devil, and conviction, which is from God. You've all felt condemnation. You know what it sounds like? You're a jerk through and through. You can smile at me. I didn't just call you a jerk. I'm saying that's what it feels like. You're awful. Everything. You can't identify a particular issue. You can't identify what it is. You just know you feel rotten through and through. There's no specifics. You just wake up and you feel worthless. Lots of times it's what will lead someone to suicidal thoughts. The devil shoots you with a shotgun. Jesus is very specific and penetrates with conviction. Kevin, it's that. That's what you need to repent from. So Jesus is clear. The enemy's condemnation is dull. Overall shotgun, whereas God's is clear. And it's not condemnation, It's conviction. And how many know that's a gift from God? Because it's not just to club you. That conviction is to bring you to your Heavenly Father. Oh, I see it, Lord. I see it. Thank you for showing me. It's a gift. Now, the other thing is, He sees everything inside of you. That's what the Bible says. There's no creature hidden from His sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to give an account. Everything's laid bare before God. You can fake me, I can fake you sometimes, but you can't fake God. Say it with me. You can't fake God. Now, I'm going to take you into a really deep understanding of this word naked. The word naked in the Greek. Here's what it means. It's profound. It means nude. Opened. All things are open to Him. Treklezol means, now listen to this, all things are open to God. It means to seize by the neck and lay bare. Boy, Kevin, this doesn't sound like fun this morning. I don't think I want to read the Bible. Little pet, little animal. When your doggy loves you, like mine, he just wants you to throw the ball. That's all my dog wants to do. That's an aside. Just throw me the ball. I'll live with you forever if you throw me the ball. But when he's in a gentle mood, after I've thrown the ball 200 times and he's panting, he will sometimes roll over and he will expose that which is the most vulnerable. The Bible is saying, did I say that all right? Okay. The Bible is saying, when you are before Jesus, and when you are honest with Him before the Word of God, even when it's convicting, everything's open before Him. You're in your most vulnerable place. Now watch what God does. Now in the world, I'm going to ask you another question. Anybody want to be that vulnerable with anybody who's not a fellow Christian? You think you ought to just go out in the world and live that way with everybody and just be that vulnerable and... No. No, boy. Ain't no way you're going to take advantage of me. See? But before Jesus, watch what He does. All things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. It's all exposed. We're all vulnerable. I just got filleted by the Scripture because He showed me my motives. He showed me my heart. But instead of being squashed like a bug, look at God's heart. Go to verse 14. What does Jesus do with all of this exposure? Verse 14. Seeing then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. What does a priest do? A priest represents you to God. A prophet speaks the word of God to you. A priest represents you to God. Takes our need to Him. Says, hold fast your profession. Your confession is literally what that means. What is your confession at a time like this? Lord, You are my Father. You are my Lord. You are my heavenly Savior. I'm under Your covering. Cleanse me by the blood. I'm Yours and I belong to You. Anybody ever need to hold on to that kind of a confession? You wake up, you get discouraged, even if you know you're wrong before God and you've seen it in the Scriptures. You still need to hold on to the bedrock of your confession. I belong to Him. He's my Father. He's got my best in mind. Change me, Lord. Make me more like You. But thank You that I'm Yours. Revelation 12, verse 11 says, they overcame Him, meaning the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. All right, He's my high priest. He knows exactly what I'm going through. What does He do with all this? He's exposed what's inside. He's spoken to me. He's cut to the chase. He's gotten through to what's inside. He knows exactly what I'm going through. Why? Because He's been through it too. Look at verse 15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. This high priest is sympathetic to your frailties. Aren't you glad for that? This high priest knows what you've been going through. This high priest didn't sin, but he walks up to you and he goes, I know what you're going through, son. I've been there. I know your frustrations in that job you work at. I know that broker is a real problem for you, but he knows it. He's been through the temptations. He's been through the difficulties. He didn't choose to sin. What does that mean? Does that mean God condemns you? How many times have you heard? Come on, gang, how many times have you heard? I've got to be good enough to go to church. Okay, come on. Did you ever say that? Be honest. I got to be good enough to go to church. I'm not good enough to go to church. Hey, guess what? You need to be bad enough to come to church. Because the bad enough folks need Jesus. And all the people said?
Amen.
In fact, the Bible says, if you're a hot shot and you don't think you need him, what good's he going to do you? Not, the Bible doesn't say it quite that way, but not many rich, not many famous, not many well-to-do, not many highfalutin people come to Christ. Chapter and verse, I can't quote that right now. I think that's back with Moses or Joshua. But it's in the Bible. But what do? You feel like you can turn away and say, I'm not good enough. He's not doing this change in our lives for that reason. He says, okay, I've showed you the reality. Come to me. I'm the high priest. Come bring it to me. Instead of staying away, do just the opposite. What does it say in the Bible? Go to verse 16. Here's what we're to do. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore, say it out loud with me, come boldly. Let us come how?
Boldly.
Say it southern. Come boldly.
Boldly.
Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Listen, if you don't think you need him, then why are you going to come to him? If you don't need Jesus, why come? But what the Bible has shown us in this scripture, in this section of scripture, it's one of those few that talks about what the Word of God does. We've been talking about falling in love with the Word of God. And so what does he do? You get into the Word, you read it, you see your need for change. And he follows that immediately up with saying, now remember, yes, it's going to be convicting, but I'm your high priest. I'm the one who loves you. Now, what do you do with this need you see? Come to me. Come boldly to the throne of God. Come boldly to the throne of God, the throne of grace. To obtain mercy and grace in your time of need. Grace. Getting a gift you don't deserve. When it's a birthday and someone gives you a gift, is it deserved? Mercy. Not getting what you do deserve. The fact we're alive here this morning is the good news of God. The fact He gave us another day. The fact we get to be friends. The fact that we get to hang out, encourage each other. That's good news. Mercy. I don't get judged, which I deserve. Grace, I get love, friends, family of God that strengthen me in the way. Jesus loves you. There remaineth therefore a rest, a place of provision, an inheritance that He wants the people of God to have. That's how we were set up for this section of Scripture. And so He says, if you want that place before the Lord, come to Jesus. Open the Word. Find Him in the pages there. And I find Him and I fall in love with Him more today. And then I go back tomorrow and I find Jesus and I love Him more tomorrow. And when He convicts me, which He says He'll do, He's only doing it to make me more like Him. The Bible says the goal of God is to conform us to the image of His Son. Anybody in this room want to be just like Jesus? So don't finish, Lord, until you're done. Is it soup yet? Nah. Keep changing me. But when I see it, come. Come boldly to the throne of grace for grace and mercy, grace to help in time of need. Listen to that verse, and I'm going to close. Listen to that verse out of the Message version. Hebrews 4, verse 16, out of the Message. So let's walk right up to Him and get what He's so ready to give. Take the mercy. Accept the help. Say it with me. Take the mercy. Accept the help. One more time. Take the mercy. Accept the help. Say it backwards. Accept the help. Take the mercy. Just had to make sure you had it. One more time. The other way so we get it right. Take the mercy. Accept the help. Falling in love with the Word of God, where we find the place of His presence, His love, His life, strength, peace, joy, forgiveness, comfort. Life is in Him. Life is in here, in His Word. Have you fallen more in love with the Word of God? Hallelujah. We'll just finish with that again. Lord, we thank You for this time we've had together, and we pray that You will be glorified in our lives. Lord, we thank You for those who've gone before us to give us the treasury of Your Word. We thank You for the richness of the Scripture. Jesus, we thank You that though You may open us and show us motivation that we're not thrilled to see, we thank You that You forgive us. If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, the Bible says. Thank You, Jesus, for that. And we come to You through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of Jesus. Cleanse us, wash us clean. Let us have more than ever the mind of Christ, and teach us from Your Word, won't You? We fall in love with You and Your Word more than ever before. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've not ever surrendered officially your life to Jesus, I invite you to come on up afterwards. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you need physical healing in your body, we'll be happy to pray with you as well. The Bible talks about the laying on of hands and anointing with oil. We believe God ministers healing power. If you need a word of counsel or prayer from one of the pastors, I know we're here, and those other team members, love to pray for you. God bless you. Keep growing in the Word of God. Let's keep going. Let's keep growing. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.